Hallelujah. Come on, let's stand to our feet and give the Lord some praise. Come on, I dare you to give the Lord some praise. The miraculous power of God is in this place. Come on, all over this auditorium. Let's give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. When we worship Him, He does the miracles. He does the signs and He does the wonders. Amen. Most gracious and eternal Father, we are so mindful of the fact that we're nothing without you. Thank you for this privilege and this opportunity that we could come and be a voice that you can speak through. We could be a body that you can operate through. Use my hands, use my mouth, use my vocal cords. Use me, O God, for the extension of your kingdom. Let somebody's life be touched, impacted, transformed. Pray, let there be a miracle, healings, spirits of depression, oppression. We rebuke it in the name of Jesus. Sickness, disease, whatever people have come in with, I pray they will not leave with that in the name of Jesus. We come against every marital problem, family problem. We come against every rebellious demonic power. We rebuke it by the anointing that's upon our lives in the name of Jesus. We command you, you have no right, you have no authority over our lives, over our bodies, over our family, over our possession. In the name of Jesus, we speak miracles in the atmosphere in Jesus' name. Amen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. Hallelujah. God bless you. God bless you as you take your seats. I'm so honored to be here with my good friend, Pastor Woodrow Walker. Man, you are a gentleman. And we appreciate you. We love you in South Africa. And Pastor Omar Morton said, man, pass regard to our friend. He's now our friend. After I introduced you to him, he's so, so happy that we could have connected. And thank you. The last time I was here, Pastor Walker just got onto a flight and just flew to New Jersey to come and see me. Man, that was a next level. And he couldn't, he says, man, you mean the man of God came just to see you? You're highly respected. I say, I respect him too. Amen. Pastor Francine, wow. You were supposed to come to South Africa. My wife and daughter and family miss you. And we want to see you one day. Please, COVID has now gone. I believe so. Amen. That's my wife and daughter. That's my wife. That's my daughter. Come on, just appreciate them. They sent me here to come and be a blessing to you. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, we want to get into the Word of God, and we're going to trust God for powerful things to happen here this morning. Amen. Amen. We're going to read. I had a PowerPoint presentation that couldn't open, but I will just present my topic today. I want to speak to you from the subject entitled, Can Any Good Come From Nazareth? Can any good come from Nazareth? So if they try and open it somewhere, please try and do. I'm going to read to you from the book of John 1, 42, 43. 41, 42, 43, I think, just up to so far. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother Simon and to tell him, we have found the Messiah, that is the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. Jesus looked at him and said, you are Simon, son of John. You will be called Cephas, which means, when translated, Peter. 43, 45. The next day, Jesus decided to leave for Galilee, finding Philip. He said to him, follow me. Philip found Nathanael and told him, we have found the one Moses wrote about in the law and about whom the prophets also wrote, Jesus. Philip, along with others, has made the world's best discovery ever. The word of prophecy spoken by many great holy men has come into fulfillment. He is filled with great excitement and enthusiasm as we can imagine. He is a witness and a bearer of this fresh off the press news. Philip shares this news with Nathanael. We are history in the making. What many generations were praying for, hoping for, we became that generation to usher in the manifested promise. Oh, Lord Jesus. Moses wrote about him in the law, and the prophets also prophesied of him, Jesus. The word, John 1:40 says, the word became flesh and made his dwelling amongst us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth, the Messiah, the Savior of the world. Man, I'm just so excited when I talk about Jesus. He means so much to me. He's a good God, man. If you're so excited, come on, give him some praise in this place, man. Come on, give God some praise. Philip's excitement is short-lived. Its fire quenched. Philip failed to read the room like many of us. He failed to determine at which level of readiness his listener was at. Unfortunately, not everyone is at the same level in your life and doesn't deserve to hear everything. There are people that are in the crowd, there are people that's in the congregation, there are people that's committed, and there are people that's in the core. Why so many people get hurt in relationships? Because they invest in people that don't invest in their lives. Why people get hurt? They put too much attention on people that don't want to put attention on them. Why people get hurt in relationships is their deposit is so much and their withdrawal is so little. You can never deposit too much in a relationship and draw little. That's abuse. And that's where people are at. They want to pump too much into people that don't care about them. There are so many people, they are takers. They take from you, they don't invest in you. You're the one that take them for coffee. You're the one that's worried about their children. They don't even ask about your family. That's not good people to be around. They take us, and you know what happened? They drain you. They take from you. And all that you know is, when I get a call, is what can you give me? They don't ask, what can we invest in your life? So this is what happened for Philip. Didn't understand that Nathanael was not at that level. Why? They don't have the interest of you and your family on their agenda. When you make mega deposits in relationships and your withdrawals are little, you're heading for a serious crash. Such people are takers. Whilst you can give, they are around you. Just stop giving and watch how they delete you from WhatsApp. There are people in your life, you should learn the art of selective conversation. Let me repeat that. There are people in your life, you should learn the art of selective conversation. Not everyone you call family or friend has your back and have the best interest at heart. Hence, it's extremely important to become very discreet with your prophetic promise or dreams. You can't just go out telling everybody what's happening in your life. Not everybody likes where you're going. As a life coach and a marriage practitioner, my job is constantly assessing people and relationships. People always want, they never reciprocate. That's not good relationships. Some people, you should feed small nuggets at a time. Sharing too much too soon can place you at risk of aborting your baby of potential. Ask Joseph. It doesn't mean you're excited about your prophetic word that you will automatically get buy-in from someone else. They will question you and talk to you about your miracle. Why are you so excited about your prophecy? They'll try and talk you out of your prophecy. Such was Philip's case. He shared too much too soon with Nathanael. It's the next phrase that gets Nathanael's eyebrows raised. When Philip unveiled Jesus' place of origin, he says Nazareth. It provoked Nathanael's subjective response. Can any good come from Nazareth? Philip never argued with Nathanael after his outburst in verses 46b. He said, come and see. There are some people you don't argue. You don't tell them more. You just tell them, come and see the manifestation. What Nathanael was alluding to, can any good, can any noble, can anything significant come from an isolated, dark, God-forsaken place? Can any great emerge? Can anything remarkable come from Nazareth? Nathanael knew Nazareth was a modern city in Lower Galilee towards the northern ridge of Jezreel. The major trade routes ran through Jezreel, the valley to the south, leaving Nazareth largely isolated. It is not mentioned in the Old Testament or in the Talmud. It is observed that no prophet, no priest, no king ever came from the city Nazareth. Thus, no direction, no foresight, no priestly sacrifice was offered for the people there, a place that was dark. A question asked to Nicodemus in John 7:52 confirms this truth about Nazareth. Are you from Galilee too? Search the scriptures and see for yourself. No prophet ever came from Nazareth or Galilee. Everyone, I don't care who you are, we all have a history. Don't let your history define or confine you. So many are trapped by their past. They are trapped by this thing that we call the past. Everybody's got a past, a history. So why do you live your life based on your history as opposed to your future? When you live your life based on your history, you sabotage your future, or you keep your future hostage. That's the reason why people are stagnating. They don't move forward because the minute they want to move forward, their history speaks to them. People knew the Samaritan woman's history, just like people make it their business to know yours. God is bigger than your history. God is bigger than your mistakes. God is bigger than your failure. God is bigger than your flaws. Nazareth, it's your turn. I've come to tell somebody today in Cross Cultural Church, it's your turn. It's your time. God's about to do something great. God's about to do something stupendous. God's about to do something miraculous. It's your season for a breakthrough. It's your season for God to do something for you, for your family, for your situation. You are coming out of that mess. I dare you to confirm, I'm coming out of my mess. I don't care how long you've been in it, you're coming out of your mess. Tell somebody, I'm coming out. Nathanael was not that knowledgeable. He had subjective knowledge which was biased. He knew the negative history of Nazareth. What Nathanael didn't know, there was a spoken word hovering over Nazareth, waiting for its kairos moment, the set time. I'm here to tell you, there's a set time for everything. I don't care how long the devil has been tormenting you, keeping you down, telling you you're not going to make it, telling you that you're going to die with that sickness and that disease. But I've come all the way from South Africa to tell you something good is about to come forth. There's a miracle with your name written on it. That devil is a liar. God is about to emerge and do something greater in your life. Can anything good come from Nazareth? Listen, the one that promised. Listen what Numbers 23:19 says. God is not a man
that we should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. Had he said it, and shall he not do it? Or had he spoken, and shall he not make good of it? Listen what he says to Jeremiah. He says to Jeremiah in Jeremiah 1:12, he says, I watch over my word to perform it. The God that we serve is a miracle God. God watches over his word and is going to perform it. Listen what he says to Isaiah. Isaiah 55:11, he echoes the same sentiments. He says, so shall my word be that goes out of my mouth. It shall not return to me empty, but it shall accomplish that which I prospered and shall succeed in the thing which I've sent it. Oh God, if you got a prophecy or a promise over your life, you should actually get excited, because God's about to manifest the promise and the prophecy. It is due time. It's your Kairos moment. It's your defining moment. Your miracle is about to pop up. Sooner or later, God's about to do it. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this place. I dare you to give him some praise. Listen what he says to Ezekiel 12:28. Therefore say to them, the people, here at Cross Cultural Church, tell them, says the Lord God, none of my words will be delayed any longer. Oh God, oh God, oh God. I'm here to tell you, Cross Cultural Church, no more delay. What's taken you many years, God is saying something's about to happen in a twinkling of an eye, in a moment of time. The miracle is about to pop out quicker than quick, greater than great, bigger than bigger. You are about to take a mega step, a quantum leap. I see people coming from the north. I see people coming from the south, from the east, from the west. They are coming all to Cross Cultural Church because God is doing something new. It's your season. It's your time for a miracle. Come on, give God some praise. Come on, give him some praise. Everything that has breath, give the Lord some praise. Tell somebody, no more delay. Come on, no more delay. What the devil meant for evil, God is turning it around for good. Something is about to break here this morning. I'm here to tell you something is about to break this morning. I was preaching out in Hickory, North Carolina, now Wednesday and Thursday. On Wednesday evening, as I began to preach, and the power of God began to hit the place, a pastor woman was an evangelist with her husband. I think he must have been 60 or 62. Unbeknown to me, as the power began to operate and I prophesied and I began, the gift of God began to operate. I went to him, unbeknown to me, and I said to him, in the name of Jesus, be healed from the crown of your head to the soles of his feet. When the meeting was over and the pastor was saying that, she says, can I say something? Please, I don't want to disturb, but I want to say something. She says, here's my husband. My husband came to this meeting. He had battled with his leg for a long time. They were supposed to go for an x-ray. He said, when I laid hand upon him, the fire of God hit through his body and touched his leg, and his leg pushed into place. The pain and everything left. I'm talking about now, not long time now. I'm talking about now. That's the miraculous power of God. I preached on Friday at Bishop Glenn. This is powerful. At Bishop Glenn Collier's church, I preached there. And the power of God also started operating. And as I began to, I called out a lady and she came to the front. The power of God hit her. She was under the power. And then the Lord directed me to the online. I said, there's somebody in the online that might be sick in your bed. Little did I know that one of the pastors, a lady pastor, she sent her daughter the link of the service. She's at home, laying in a bed. It just happened. The pastor made me, he called her while we were in the car, and she gave the same testimony. The girl was at home, laying, and she had this dizzy spells. Whenever she gets up, she'll collapse. And she was vomiting and all the time. It was going on for some time. The minute she saw what was happening to this lady and what I was prophesying, she got up out of the bed. She sat up and said, man, I'm not dizzy anymore. She got up, she went and had something to eat, and it stayed in her tummy. That's the miraculous power of God. The pastor phoned and spoke to her, the mother, and the mother said, she's still okay. After everything, she's okay. She's eating, no more dizzy spell. That's the power of God. God can heal you online. I don't care where you are, where you're watching from. The power of God in this place is the same power that's online. Whatever the situation is, God can change it. And he can change it immediately. That's the power of God. Something good is about to happen. Come on, give the Lord some praise. 2 months ago, they brought a young girl to church. She doesn't belong to our church. But the uncle knows the power of prayer in our church. So he says, can I bring this young girl to church? I said, yes, you can bring her for prayer. So as the church was going on, I came out of the VIP lounge. It's my turn to preach. And I was sitting in worship. And I just go on in worship and get up to preach. After I finished preaching, I said, where's the girl? Where's the girl? So they bring this young girl, a 15-year young girl. When I looked at her, eaten, very frail. Girl couldn't talk, couldn't walk properly. I said, put a chair there so she can sit down. When I found out what's wrong, they said, cancer's eating this girl. She's been on chemo. She's gone for radiation. Cancer's eating her body. I said, bring the young girl here. And we beseech heaven. We ask heaven, God, save this child's life. Give her back her life. After we prayed, 2 weeks afterward, the uncle called again and said, man, can I bring the child back? She's gone worse. I said, oh God, you didn't hear our prayer. She's gone. I said, bring her back. Man, she came back at the right Sunday. The power of God was there. The anointing was there. Man, there was tangible presence of God in the place. I didn't say the other day it wasn't there, but that day it was just another level higher. So I said, elders, you come. You anoint the lady, the young girl. I stood on the pulpit and I prayed the prayers of heaven. And I said, you demonic powers of cancer, I bind you in the name of Jesus. I cast you out of this body. Every cell die. You're not taking this child's life before her time. She's not dying prematurely. She's got a purpose on this earth. And we claim a healing by the power of the resurrected Jesus Christ. Be healed. After we prayed that prayer, 3 weeks after that, the man gives me a call. He says, Pastor, I've got some good news. The young girl went to the doctor for a test. They said the blood test shows no trace of cancer. This child is healed. That's the power of the resurrected Christ. God can do miracles. Can any good come from Nazareth? Whatever is your situation, it seems dark. It seems like nothing's happening, but God is working. So the young girl came back. That was a miracle the church saw. They can see God doing it. The young girl came back. Man, this time, walked. Oh, Lord Jesus. She walked. I said, come, man, come and say thank. She came up to the stage. She said, thank you. Couldn't talk, but now she can talk. Put on some weight, look good, and say thank you. Let this young girl of 15 years, what she knows, she comes with an envelope, and she leaves an offering to say thank you to Jesus. Man, this is God. That's the miraculous power of God. Can any good come? Is your situation so bad that you think God can't do anything? God can do it for you. That's his miraculous power. God can do it. I'm sharing testimony so that you can be encouraged, so your faith can be stirred. You saw those miracles that took place, blind, deaf ears. They're countless. I can keep you here spellbound for days on end, telling you miracles after miracles that's happening not in Bible days. In our days, in our church, I see them. We love them. We see the power of God operate. The 21st century church, they don't want the power. They want quick church. Quick church. You don't do it now, I'm out. Oh, it's okay, go. Go back with your sickness. But where's the days that you tarry? Where's the days that you wait? We're too quick. But you spend the whole day in the mall, few hours, not even hours, an hour or so in the church. If it's not over by 1.5 hours, I'm out. That's why God can't bless you. That's why you stay in the same mess, because we don't want to tarry. The early church had church. Man. Morning, midday, afternoon. These people had church all the time. We watch TV, we're in social media all the time. We don't want God, but we want His help. We don't pray anymore. We don't fast anymore. We don't want the things of God anymore. We don't read our Bibles. We don't come to Bible study. We want a quick shift in and out. Microwave Christians. Put it in, I want out. I want my miracle now, now, now. No, there's some miracles that will take place immediately. Some as they go. Look at this lady with the issue of blood. Man, this lady has been ostracized by people. No good. People looked down upon her, spoke bad about her. This lady couldn't even get into contact with the congregation. It was illegal for her. But this lady knew there's a moment, and there's a defining moment. When God wants to change the trajectory of your life, He'll always send in a man of God with an anointing, with a grace. I'm here not by chance. Could have been anywhere. I'm here by an assignment. Could be preaching in any other church. Could be anywhere. But God allowed Pastor Walker's heart to open. We missed each other's emails until the last time when I thought this is my last email I'm sending him. Then I'm going to another church. How can I come here and not come to his church? And he says, man, here's it. And suddenly I just got, it's confirmed. But I'm here, I am here for somebody. Somebody pulled on the realm of the Spirit. The power of God in this day and age should be more real than ever before. We're serving a God that does signs, wonders, and miracles. So this lady comes and she knows it's a defining moment. What? Not just anybody's in town. The embodiment of grace just showed up. Jesus. Oh, Lord. Jesus just showed up, the carrier of glory. The carrier of signs, wonders, and miracles. He's in town. They're not preaching about He showed up. Jesus. Oh, Lord. You see, when Jesus shows up and He shows up, you think He's not here, He's here. You want Jesus to preach to you? You see Jesus every Sunday. He preaches through Him. He's here through me. God is here. I'm His hands extended. He chose me. He chose some to be pastors, apostles, teachers. He chose them. I'm chosen. So I'm not here by default. I wasn't voted in power. No, the kingdom of God is not a democracy. It's a theocracy. I was placed. With all my faults, I was placed. With all my mistakes, He placed me to be a carrier of His glory so that I can impact your life. That's why you should never take God's servants for granted. That's your problem. He who receives a prophet in the name of a prophet will get what's a prophet's reward? What I say will happen. If you believe I'm God sent, what I say and you believe it will happen for you. But we overlook. We treat God's servants just like man. Let me give you a testimony before I get to the woman. My daughter, hey, she might be watching. She's working, she's a qualified lawyer, was working for a company, and brilliant girl, worked very hard. And because of her ethics of work, these bosses put more work on her because of her ethics of work, pumped more work on her. I said, this is ridiculous, man. We don't see you like we used to see you. You in your work. These guys can't do that. So much work. I said, man, I told my wife, let's sell one of our properties and just give this girl some money. They're okay. I said, just give her the money so that she can at least for 6 months sit at home and pay herself and look for a job. She can get a job anytime, but she wants a job in her line. Listen what God does. After everything, God begins to move supernaturally. Now listen what God does. God works supernaturally. In COVID, the Lord tells me, put up a building. We want to put up several buildings, but just a building.
I said, God, man, in COVID, you're not serious. Lord, you know, the people are not there. The money. God says, yeah. I said, okay, I'm going to put out a fleece. I said, if somebody phones me with regards to this building, then I know it's you. So I go out the next morning. I'm so a little discouraged. And I go and wash my car and I go and have some breakfast. Yeah, pastor friend of mine, he phones me. He says, how far is the building? I said, excuse me? Let's talk. I said, where do you get that from? He says, when I woke up this morning, God started prompting my heart. He says, I will pay for the foundation. I said, the foundation, Lord, who was going to pay for the building? This is just the start. The Lord says, man, I'm with you. I'm showing you little by little. And that's how God began to work. So the building was roof height, and people were giving. We took money from our investments and wherever we put up. So at the end, we were trying to get the roof up. So one day, I said, with all the monies that we've given in, my wife, one Sunday, I'm just cutting the testimony short. She says, man, God says I must encourage you. And she gives some money towards the roof. I said, excuse me, with all the monies that we've given, where did you get money from? I mean, woman, they got a secret bank account. I mean, woman, they can just make little become much. You just see those 200 rands that you're giving and you go out for lunch, they don't pay you paying. They put that money away. They put that money away. You go into a shop and you say, honey, what do you want? She's got money to buy it, but then you buy it. She puts that money away. That day she knows you're going to need some money. So she gives this large amount of money and I'm shocked. So my daughter, my son-in-law's not in church, my daughter's there, and they wanted to give a pledge towards the building. She cries and she goes home and she tells her husband, man, this that we want to give God is, I don't believe. Husband said, okay, pump it up many times. So he pumps up the money many times and she brings the money. Man, listen what happened. That offering triggered something. My daughter's been looking for a job in her line for some time. Suddenly she gets a phone call, headhunted by a company. And she says, Daddy, you're my pastor, you're my prophet, you come with me. So we go for the interview. I'm driving all the way. I'm speaking in tongues. I'm encouraging her. We're early. We're not late. We're early. Hours early. We will sit. I cool her down. I make her be relaxed. We drink coffee so that she can get to an interview. As she's in, I walk around the building. I said, this is my baby's new place. In the name of Jesus, you devil, I cover this place. I claim it in the name of Jesus. Here's her place. It will be nice for her to work here. And this is how God works. Suddenly, the interview 2 hours later is over. I asked her, my baby, how did it go? She says, Daddy, it went well. On our way home, there she receives good news. She says, man, the only thing is we have to send the documents to Germany because it's a German company. They must see the bosses over there. Man, in 24 hours, signed, sealed job offer. And you know what they tell her? You fill in the amount that we must pay you. Have you heard that? You tell us how much we must pay you. That's the kind of God. I'm telling you, when you believe the man of God, the word of God in his mouth, it will unlock miracles like you can't believe it. Our problem is you take this for granted. You want to become familiar with me? I can't be your friend. I'm your pastor. The minute you become familiar with me, you rob yourself. Because I'm loaded with your next miracle. Now familiarity now stops. Because you know what familiarity breeds? Contentment, and it breeds dishonor. Now you look at me on the basis of my humanity, not on my divinity. And when you relate to me on the basis of my humanity, you rob the divinity in me from working for you. So the woman, she saw it's a due season. She said to herself, sometimes in life, the only voice you need to hear is your own voice. With all the negativity going on, you need to encourage yourself. This lady spoke to her and said to herself, she says, if I can touch his garment, I know I will be better.
That's what you need to do. Encourage yourself in the Lord. Encourage yourself and see what God. And this woman kept on saying to herself, if I touch, I know I'll be better. And eventually, everybody's around Jesus. And that's what happens sometimes in church. Everybody comes to church. Others come to spectate. Everyone was around Jesus. But this lady wanted to participate. She wasn't a spectator. She pushed through that crowd. The spectators were there. She says, I need to get to the goal to touch him. Others spectated. And when she touched, Jesus stopped. You see, your touch can make Jesus stop in church. Your touch can make Jesus come to your seat. Your touch can make Jesus come where you are. Your touch can heal somebody at home. That's what your touch can do. Touch him today. The minute you touch him, there's a job interview. The minute you touch him, there's a healing. That's what God can do. And the minute she touched, he said, who touched me? The disciple says, how can you ask that? Look at all these people around you. I mean, they just circling around you. They're not here for purpose. But there's a woman that was there intentionally. So whenever you come into the presence of God, you must come in the presence of God intentionally to get a blessing from him. I've come to worship him no matter what is going on in my life, no matter what's going on by my house. I've come to cut off from everything. I've come to worship him. When God sees a worshiper like that, there's no telling what he can do for you. The miraculous power of God is in this place. There's an anointing to break yokes and to destroy burdens. The reason why I'm giving you all these testimonies is to help you. I can give you more. I can give you fresh off the press testimonies. Not Bible testimonies, not last year. Things that just happened in this period of time. People are hungry. People are fasting. People are praying. Every week we're fasting. We fast, I tell the church, fast every week in your own measure, a day or 2 days. There's sometimes I go 10 days fasting because we want the power. We're tired of conventional church. Conventional church is boring. Conventional church is boring. It does nothing. But when you come with the power of God and God begins to move over the people, and we see signs and wonders. God, you are still here. There's nothing impossible for God. Today, there's miracles loaded in the atmosphere. You can pull it down. Huh? You can pull it down. Angels can ascend, and angels, you know what? Your prayers can go up and come down. Angels were ascending, ask Jacob, ascending and coming down, ascending and coming down. Prayers are going up. Miracles are coming down. Prayers are going up. Answers are coming down. That's what happens. Heaven wants to do it for you. That's the power. Man, he's in this place. The supernatural power of God is in this place. Is there anything too hard for God? Is there anything too hard? Nazareth. I'm ending with Nazareth. We can leave the PowerPoint. We don't need. Listen what God does. He visits Nazareth through the womb of a virgin. That's what happens. There's a word that was hovering. Nathaniel didn't know. There was a spoken word over Nazareth. It must come to pass. He finds a virgin woman, a young girl, and impregnates her. And there, Jesus, the gift of the world, comes to Nazareth. No priest, no king, no prophet came from Nazareth. Listen what God does. He gives a threefold anointing in one person. A king, a priest, and a prophet through Jesus Christ. Listen what he does. God can make your miracle bigger than big. That's what it never, it doesn't mean it didn't happen, it will not happen. Doesn't mean it didn't happen yet, it will not happen. God is true to his word. He will not lie. You have to keep his word. I teach the church, you pray the word of God, you believe the word of God, you declare the word of God, and you will see it come to pass. Can any good come from Nazareth? Come on, give the Lord some praise in this place. Come on, I dare you. Online, give the Lord praise.
Virtual church, give the Lord some praise right there where you are, in your home, wherever you're watching from. There's a miracle with your name written on it. Come on, something good is about to happen. Miracles are about to happen. There's an atmosphere for release in the name of Jesus. I hear the Lord saying, I'm doing it for my children. I hear the Lord saying, there's miracles gonna be released today in the name of Jesus. Kande brashotolo brashande kata. Presence of God, the power of God is in this place. Thank you, Spirit of God. Thank you. Somebody's disturbed. Listen to me. Somebody. There's someone that came into church. You are disturbed. You're disturbed in your spirit. You're disturbed in your mind. I don't know what happened before you came to church. Don't know what happened in the week. But that thing is still on you. You are disturbed. You're feeling anxious. I don't know what you're up against. I don't know what is going on in your life. But you are feeling anxious. And God is telling me to tell that woman that God is in charge. He's breaking that anxiety off your life in the name of Jesus. You spirit, your foul demonic spirit of anxiety, I rebuke you by the power of God, and I evict you right now over that life, over that person in the name of Jesus. We condemn it, whether you online or in person. I condemn the spirit of anxiety. You have no right to live that life. Satan, the blood of Jesus is against you right now in the name of Jesus. The miraculous power of God. Come on, give the Lord some praise in this place. The miraculous power of God. Give the Lord some praise. Give the Lord some praise. I know I don't have a lot of time. I think 10 minutes or so do I have left over. I want to pray for sick people. I want to pray for somebody that's sick in their body. You can take your seat. Somebody that's sick. If you've come into this place, you're sick in your body. I want to pray for you. Just come out of your seat. You can come stand here in the front. If you need a miracle of some sort, a sickness in your body, you want God to do a miracle for you. You are disturbed. You are full of anxiety. You have depression. Something the enemy has placed upon you, and you want to shake it off this morning. This is your time. This is your time for the miraculous power of God. The miraculous power of God. Kebra Shota, I'm not the healer. I'm just the one that God's working through for this time, for this time. I'm the assigned servant of God for this service. God has sent me here to partner with the anointing of Pastor Woodrow Walker, and together this miraculous power of God will work on your behalf. I've come to partner with this anointing in this place in the name of Jesus.